Minag of Tainas B'chayrim. A fantastic article here, chapter in the Sefer Mayadim L'Simcha, which we always use by Freund, by Rabbi Tuvia Freund. The history and the halacha of Tainas B'chayrim. Now let me cut to the chase. Let me work backwards. I'll go to the end where he summarizes the history. When this minhag started, it was not accepted the custom that a firstborn should fast Erev Pesach by the vast majority of Klal Yisrael. Now, first of all, there are two sources. What are the real early sources for this? Mainly, it is Masechta Seferim. Masechta Seferim was written by the Rabbanan Savaroi, written after the Gemara, and there it writes, and there is a minhag that every firstborn male should fast Erev Pesach as a zecher for the nays of Makas B'chayros. Because, as it says, we read in this Per Shabbos in Parashas Achodesh, is that that when the Mashkes was given Rishus to murder every firstborn, the Mashkes is not mavchin between the firstborn Jews and the firstborn Egyptians. And according to the rules of Hashchasa, the firstborn Jews also would have been killed that fateful night of Lil Pesach. It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on the firstborn Jews, Hashem brought about a miracle that they were not affected by the Malach, the Mashkes, that's Ufasachti al Boteichem. The Mashkes and HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over the homes of the Jews, and the firstborn Jews were saved. But the firstborn Jews, were in grave danger. They were in grave danger. And Hashem had Rachmanis upon them. And therefore, as a zecher for the Rachmanis that Hashem had on the firstborn males fast. This is what it says in Masechta Tainit, in Masechta Sofer. Now, there is also a Yerushalmi. Okay, anyone that talks about this topic cannot ignore the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is controversial. Yerushalmi, in fact, discusses this, about fasting Erev Pesach. And there the Yerushalmi says that there was an Atana who did fast, and the Gemara concludes, you have made a mistake. The reason why he fasted was not because of a Zecher for the firstborns, but was because he was an Istinus. And if he would eat Erev Pesach, he would be unable to eat Matzah and Yayin the night of Pesach. So basically, look, the Yerushalmi rejects this minhag. The Yerushalmi suggests that there should be a custom to fast Erev Pesach, and the Yerushalmi cites an example of one such Tana who did indeed fast Erev Pesach, and the Yerushalmi clearly rejects that it's not true. The reason why he fasted was because he wanted to be able to eat with a te'avon, with an appetite, the matzah, the Leil Pesach. So the Yerushalmi rejects it. The Bavli, there is absolutely no mention of it whatsoever. It came about through the Rabbanan Savaroi, who composed Masechta Seferim, that there is such an inyan, and it's quoted by Tosfos in Masechta Pesachim. And just because it's quoted by Tosfos from the Rabbanan Savaroi in Masechta Seferim, does not mean that it was accepted by Klal Yisrael to fast Erev Pesach, every firstborn. And indeed, in the time of the Amorayim, okay, he has all the sources here, we only find that individuals, very select group of firstborns, would fast Erev Pesach as a zecher for the Nes, fulfilling what it says in the Masechta Seferim, but the vast majority of Klal Yisrael did not. This is what existed during the time of the Amorayim. Now, during the time of the Rishon, during the time of Tosfos, it appears that many people took it upon themselves as a new minhag, to fast Erev Pesach. Now, when we talk about fasting, there was no, let's make it clear over here. Until modern times, there was no such thing as getting out of the fast by going to a seum. This didn't exist. This idea of, you go to a seum and you don't have to fast, this is something that is very modern. This probably in existence for maybe 300 at most 400 years. But when you're going back to the time of the time of the original Takana, it did not enter the mind of anyone such a thing that there's a way out. either you fast or you don't fast. Yushalmi rejects the fasting. Bavli, there is no mention. The Rabbanan Savarai say you should do it. The Taisis says it became a minig. It's mashma from time of the Rishonim, it became a minig, and they actually fasted the entire day. Now, at a later point in time, during the time of the Achronim, it seems that the minog became even stronger. As time passed, it became even stronger. Over centuries, the minig really evolved into an obligation to the degree where everyone had to fast. So it started off as yichidim, then it became a minog, and then it became an obligation. In the last couple of centuries, what has happened is people have discovered that it's too hard to fast Erev Pesach. It's just too hard for different reasons. Number one, Aruch HaShulchan, says number one is because it's just too difficult. People are very weak. We live in a very weak generation. We can't fast. And more importantly, he says it's a sakana to fast today when you are planning at night to eat matzah, morar, and 4 cups of wine on an empty stomach. If you are going to go into the Seder on an empty stomach, been fasting the entire day, and now drink 4 cups of wine, morar and matzah, you're putting your life in your hands. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says, therefore, because mainly of sakana, the minhag has been accepted that we no longer follow this minhag. Now, the very big halachic problem, that once you have a minhag, and it's been accepted by Klal Yisrael, who gives you the right to be mevata l'minhag? This is a very significant halachic problem that we have today, and that we do not fast. Because if it's been accepted, it's gone from yechidim to a minhag, to a what's called a minhag chayva. There's no question that during the tkufa in our history, it was an obligation to fast if you were firstborn. And more than that, if you have a child, even if you're not a firstborn, if you have a child that's a firstborn, the father has to fast for the child. So how do we get out of this? How do we get out of it so simply? So the answer really comes from a Rambam. The Rambam says that if people are mefakfik, even on a gezerah, because it's too difficult, then Klal Yisrael has a right as a whole to decide at Khan. It's an amazing Rambam. Probably can't find it, like I can't find anything. But the Rambam writes that we as a nation, here it is, based in Shenir Asalohem Ligzar Gezerah, Eilisakin Takana, Eilahanig Minhag. So first, they first have to decide, make a determination that most of the population can fulfill it. What happens if the Harisha Gazru, Bezdin Gezera, Vidimu, and they assumed, Sheroiv Hakahol Yecholim Lamod Ba, the Achar Shegazra, here are the key words, Shegazrua, Pik Piku Ha'am Ba. After the Gezerah was already in full force, the people, the population, piku. It's a hard word to translate. They took issue.
To criticize.
They criticized. It's already in full force. Piku ha'amba, v'loy pashta b'roiv ha'kahal, hare zebatla, v'einon rashayin l'koif esa'am l'lech espa, you no longer have permission to force people to follow this gezerah. Now the Rambam is only discussing a gezerah, he's not discussing a minhag. We, by extension, applied this to a minhag, and all the pious can say, this is the makar, and this is the makar, as to why, bizman hazeh, we do not fast Erev Pesach, but instead, we deem it by making a siyum, which, I mean, the siyum really doesn't really help very much. A person, if it's a shivas b'tamos, and you don't want to fast Shavuos B'Tammuz, did you ever hear someone coming along and saying, you know what, I'm going to make a seam today, I'm not going to fast Shavuos B'Tammuz? They'll laugh at you. Okay, on Tisha B'Av, I don't want to fast Tisha B'Av, so I'll make a seam. What's it going to help? A seam is not going to help, fasting like making a Suda. So the truth is we don't do it. That the real truth is, Bizman HaZeh, that we don't fast. What we do is, in order to apologize for not fasting, we make a Sudas Mitzvah. So Sudas Mitzvah, to some degree, it lightened the severity of not fasting on this day. Okay, now, Let's discuss some other interesting things about fasting. First of all, he brings out over here something very, very interesting. Why indeed do we really fast Erev Pesach? So I told you really what it says in the Masechta Yesharim is because the firstborns are redeeming the fast, are acknowledging that they were in danger. Had they been living at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, their lives would have been in danger because Hashem already announced that all of the firstborns would be put to death. That's one reason. There's another very interesting reason. The problem with the first reason is, if that's the only reason why we fast, why fast Erev Pesach? Why not fast
at night.
The day before, on the 13th day of Nisan? Why not fast in the beginning of Chodesh Nisan? Why did Chazal reserve the fast day specifically for Erev Pesach? Erev Pesach is a Yom Tov. It's the day when you bring the Korban Pesach. It's not exactly the best day to fast. So he brings here, from many Mepharshim, another very powerful reason. The day of Erev Pesach is a day of very great tsar for the firstborns. Because it's the day when the whole Klal Yisrael comes to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a Korban Pesach. There was no day when there was more of a need for a Kohanim to be on duty and to serve in the Mikdash than on Erev Pesach. Everyone in Klal Yisrael needs to bring a Korban Pesach, to be part of a good Korban Pesach, and there's a shortage of Kohanim. This was the day when the Kohanim, the limelight was on the Kohanim. Who were meant to be the Kohanim in Klal Yisrael? The firstborns. Yeah, when the firstborns watch the Kohanim doing what was meant for them, it is a cause of great pain. There's no greater pain in this world, like we mentioned last week.
The biggest payday.
There's no greater pain in this world than seeing something that was meant for you go to someone else. It's bad enough when a person is punished. You can punish a person, say, you want to whip me, you want to beat me, you want to cause me to suffer, fine. But when you show me what was meant for me, and I watch someone else take it away, wow, that is the ultimate tsar in this world. When the firstborns, Erev Pesach, go to the Beis HaMikdash, and they see the Kohanim on duty, serving Klal Yisrael, the pain is off the charts. Therefore, the Kohanim B'davka, the firstborns B'davka, fast Erev Pesach, as an expression of tsar. Look what we have lost. Look what was meant for us to do the Avodah for Klal Yisrael, the Korban Pesach, which represents the Haskol of Klal Yisrael, and we are in tsar, and therefore we have to fast to be mechaper for our sins. This tsar came upon us because of our averos, because of the Chet HaEgel. So really, it's really in truth the fast of Erev Pesach, the Emes, is a tainus as a zecher for the Chet HaEgel. And that's why it has to be B'davka Erev Pesach. Okay, now there's another time. Rav Meir is going to love this time. Rav Meir, do you know whose yahrzeit is Erev Pesach? You know whose yahrzeit? You'll never guess. You'll never guess. There's someone with a very significant yahrzeit Erev Pesach. Take a guess. Whose yahrzeit was Erev Pesach? Yoshka.
Oh, really?
It's a Mefarish of Gemara. Masech the Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
Yoshka was taken out to be killed Erev Pesach.
The Last Supper was the Seder.
It doesn't make sense then. The Seder.
He died the next day.
The next day, he was taken out. I think it says in the Masech the Sanhedrin, it was taken out.
Yeah, that's the real one. Not the one that they made.
He was taken out.
Taken
out to be killed Erev Pesach.
Gemara.
That came along at some point in time and says that when they observed the firstborn's fasting, they said, you know why they're fasting? They're mourning over the loss of Yashka. Mm-hmm. So it says in Paris Eliezer this. The Nela, it became the Minog B'davka not to fast.
Yeah, right.
Not to fast and to make a siyum, to make siyumim as a rejection. No one should chas v'shalom think the reason why we're fasting is because we have tsar over the death of Yashka. There were kufas in the Klal Yisrael when there was a very big issue with Christians. There were a lot of people that converted to Christianity, people they sympathized with Christianity. And that during that kufa is given credit, according to some of the commentators, as why the minig was bottled. It wasn't so much because of the sakana, because it became weak. It's because people started attributing the fasting to the wrong reason. They started using this as a tool to recruit people for whatever it is, for fiyashka.
It's a little extreme idea, but this is
something very interesting. Now, by the way, this idea that we mentioned before, just going back one moment, this idea we said before is that the reason why the firstborn space with Dafka on the 14th is because the Tsar has halachic precedence. By a pinyin haben, do we make the bracha shasimcha b'mo'inai? There's halacha by a pinyin haben, you do not make a bracha shasimcha b'mo'inai. Question is, why not? And the answer is, Tsara d'yanuka. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Why Tsara d'yanuka? Because it's not a good thing that the Bukhar should be redeemed. The redeeming of the Bukhar represents he's no longer going to serve as a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Mm. So it's not a healthy thing that we take away his opportunity to be a Kohen. This taka pain, this Tsara d'yanuka, just like by a bris milah, most of us don't make a bracha shechi, you don't make a bracha shechi yanuk, because Tsara d'yanuka, you don't make a bracha, you don't make a bracha shechi yanuk, you don't make a Tsara d'yanuka. So listen, you see, whenever there's pain for a Bukhar, It has significance. There's no shasim the moinai and the erev Pesach they fast.
So why is it begin about a simcha?
It's a mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. The Torah says Yasim redeemed the first one five slime. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's bittersweet. So you don't go overboard. You don't say shasim the moinai, but it's still a mitzvah. So you have to have a suit of mitzvah. But there is something full to it. Okay, some interesting shilas. Are you allowed to hear asim over a telephone? First of all, let's go a step back. When it became a minhag over time, when it became a minhag to stop fasting erev Pesach, it was done in different stages. This idea of making a siyum was introduced. It's not exactly clear when this concept was introduced to make a siyum, but it was introduced to make a siyum. But it's very clear that many of the early poskim were very against this heter. The Chassam Sofer was very unhappy with making a siyum, very upset. The Noida Behuda was against it. And even the later poskim that said that you can make a siyum, they said the siyum only works for the one who actually makes the siyum. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as participating in someone else's siyum to allow you
to be exempted. Yeah.
That's we said before. This whole idea of making a siyum. If you want to eat on Tisha B'Av, can you make a siyum and eat on Tisha B'Av? No such thing.
Because you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av.
So what about Shavas Matamus? Shavas Matamus. It's very shocking. This heter, the Iker heter, make the siyum means you yourself have to make the siyum. If you did not make this and you want to participate, it's a very, very weak heter. Now, it became a heter. Not everyone can make a siyum. It's not possible. So at least you have to learn with the person a little bit. You're not going to be Masam the Masechta, but at least you should participate in the learning. You should go to a shir, learn a little bit of the Masechta, at least have a chelik in the Masechta. If not, at least pay for the siyum. Give some money to support the expense. Support the person who made the siyum. He took off time from work to make a siyum. You should have to have at least a significant chelik in the siyum if you want to use that siyum to party yourself and make the siyum.
When I grew up, they used to put out a plate.
For the one of the Eichanabi, that's really a culture because you have to have really a chelik in the one. Halacha l'maisa, b'zman hazeh, we know that none of these things apply anymore. And b'zman hazeh, you just go to shul here to make the siyum. Shilas could even listen on a telephone to a siyum. Can you listen to it online? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Arba. Now, Shlomo Zalman Aruch says yes. He asked that a person, a shayla was only when you're in honest.
The
really
Moshe was machbit to make it from the whole sugi. I was at one place where the guy was prepared to just read the last few lines.
Yeah.
And he said, and he made him go back to the last mission
You have to learn at least a verse. You could even listen to a sim over the telephone, online. Poets can say, not on tape. What do you mean on tape? Yeah, it has to be law, but you can participate online. What about making a siyum on Nach? On Nach. He quotes here, my great-grandfather, the Reisha of Aaron Levine, they asked him, shall he make a siyum on Nach? And the Levine, he said, no. He says, it's such a kula, it's such a chiddush, and you can make a siyum to exempt yourself from the first. It's enough to do the way it's done traditionally, to make a siyum on a mesechta, not to make a siyum on Nach, Nevim and Ksuvim. Unbelievable. What?
Mesechta
Mishnayos. So Rav Moshe says, l'chatchila not, three mesechtas. If you want to make a Mishnayis, you have to learn at least three Mesachtas to make a seam to exempt yourself from Bukhar.
Noi for a Seder.
a seder, not a chatchila, a seder. But at least you should learn three. Even mishnayis that appears from other places, then it's not ideal. It should be on the mesechta, on the gemara. I don't know. Okay, now also, what about here's a shayla. What about making a seder at night? Do you have to make the seder by day? There's a real shayla. Some hold that you should be, theoretically, making the seder at night should be sufficient. You're very busy. You're going away the next day. You're flying. You're traveling. You're out early in the morning. So you make the seder after you finish bedikas chametz. You'll make the seder. So you can eat it, because the halacha is that the simcha of a seder in halacha carries over to the next day. When you go to the next time, you go to the Siyam HaShas, so it's not just the night of the Siyam HaShas, the Simcha, the Siyam HaShas really goes over, and Halacha goes over to the next day. Technically, you don't have to say Tachna the next day, because it's, you have a Siyam at night, it goes over. So this is a real shayla. I think the Stechemeda, I'm not exactly sure, they really mefalpel with this shayla. The bottom line is no. The bottom line, they pass them that it's not enough. Just because it's true, you'll find
maybe
it in the car.
You can't be mopsy till after this Reichel.
Even though we do find Mekaris that the Simcha of a Siyam at night carries over into the next day, we don't accept this. You have to make the Siyam by day. You cannot make the Siyam at night. What about the Siyam of a child? Is his learning significant enough that he can exempt adults? So it's a very tough Shiloh. In our day and age, we have a much better Shiloh. What about a woman? A woman learns a Masechta. Okay, your daughter, she's an Eloi, she learns, she takes out the art scroll. I mean, they say that all the art scroll gemaras were all edited were rewritten by...
They were written by men, but some of the editors who looked
were women.
English.
Right. So there's no question today. I mean, I used to. I once gave it that Yom Yishir, and I had twice. When I gave it that Yom Yishir years ago, twice a woman came and she wanted to come to the Shir. I said fine, because not to hate. She came to Shir. So they have a woman who comes and they learn Daf Yomi, and they want to make a Siyam. So can their Siyam exempt Pater men?
Only the women of the world.
First of all, another question: does a woman need to fast? A woman who is a firstborn, a bechira, or a family, parents who have a son, and before the boy is bar mitzvah, a child. So the minhag used to be that if the father is not a firstborn, the father would fast on behalf of his son.
That's right.
And if not the father, the mother. The mother. So Ikar didn't really the mother. The mother can and should fast. So does she need to go to a Seymour firstborn? So he has a lot of discussion. There's no question about it that in certain tkufas, it was common for women to come to shul Erev Pesach and participate in a Siyam. No question about it. Today he writes, you don't see this, unheard of today. You don't see women coming to shul to participate in a Siyam Erev Pesach, but theoretically, a woman, why not? And also, if a woman is making a Siyam, Shaila's her geder of Talmud Torah is not the same geder of Talmud Torah for a man. A man is mechuyev, is mitzuveh. Nashim are not mitzuveh in Talmud Torah. So is the simcha of their sima Torah on the same level to exempt a man, the same shaila with a child? So this is a machlekes apayskin, if it's an ideal thing to rely upon their sim to pater. Okay, one of the very quick insights is that on a regular tinus, the truth is, we have to clarify this yisoid. The minhag today is not to fast. It's not the pshat. The minhag today is to fast, and you make a siyum to pater you from fasting. If that was correct, the halacha would be that after the siyum was over, you would not be allowed to eat. In other words, you won't have breakfast. It's Erev Pesach. I'm hungry. I come for breakfast. So I'm not allowed. I'm a firstborn. I'm not allowed to eat. Okay, but at least I can chop around the breakfast. Someone will make a siyum. It's a sudas mitzvah. I'll eat from the siyum. They'll serve some lady fingers, and that's why they have lady fingers, right? They have lady fingers, and they'll have some orange juice. And now I'll go home, and I want to eat a real meal. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. If a person on Shivas B'Talmas by mistake eats, is he allowed to go home and have a regular, once I ate already, I'm going to go and say this all over, I'm going to have a regular meal?
No.
It's also, let's say you go to the doctor's appointment, the doctor says you have to eat before you go and have this test, or before you do this procedure, you have to be strong, we want you to eat something. We want you to take a cup of juice. We want you to eat something. And you eat. And then the procedure is over and you're perfectly fine. Are you allowed to go home now and eat the rest of the day? Of course not. Why? Here's the yisayt. It's a beautiful yisayt. On a tainis, there are tzvei dinim. There's a din. Aloysa say and asay. Negative and positive. You're not allowed to eat, number one. Number two, you're mechuyev to fast. You're mechuyev to be oisek in tainis. And number two, you're not allowed to eat. Just because you violated the loisa say of you're not allowed to eat, I ate, I'm in violation, that doesn't take away from you the fact that you're still mechuyev to be oisek in tainis. I ate. They're not mutually. They're not totally zebes. They're exclusive. They're mutually exclusive. I'm not allowed. Not mutually exclusive. They're one. They're two separate things. Number one, I'm not allowed to eat. And number two, I'm mechuyev to be oisik and tainus. Did I violate the prohibition of not eating? Yes, I ate. But I'm still mechuyev the rest of the day to be oisik and tainus. If that principle would be true erev Pesach, then if you go to a seam in the morning, it's going to give you an advantage that you're able to eat breakfast. Hopefully we're serving something good at the tainis erev Pesach. But it does not give you a right to go home and to eat because you have to be oisek in tainis. The answer is that b'zman hazeh, we don't fast, period. That's the truth. That's the yisod. It's not the pshat, we have a tainis, and we're poided the tainis with a siyam. The emes is, we don't have a tainis, period, b'zman hazeh. Because niskatnu hadaros, it's too difficult. Number two, it's a sakana. We don't. However, we feel guilty, so we have a token redemption. The token redemption is you don't eat until you have a sudas mitzvah. And once you have the sudas mitzvah, now you can eat the entire day. Okay, that's another heter why you're allowed to eat is, you know, allowed to eat is very interesting, is that there are different types of fasting. Fasting does not always mean you eat absolutely nothing. Fasting can also mean you don't eat a regular meal. We don't really hear about this in halacha, but he brings this footnote. The scientist is such a shita, is that eating fruit or mezonos or eating smaller quantities of food, that's also called a fast. If it's normally your custom to eat a full meal, have a breakfast, have a lunch, and today I'm not going to have breakfast, lunch, I'm just going to snack, in halacha, that also to some degree counts as a fast. So therefore, the nafkamin is that a firstborn, even though he does eat, even though he has a siyum, should be careful not to engage in a nice, lavish meal, erev Pesach, because that's not consistent with what the day is for him. A firstborn really should be fasting erev Pesach. Mm. He doesn't, but don't go overboard. You go to a siyum, fine, you have a little bit more to eat. But when you go home, you can snack, but not to eat too much more, because that already would be in violation of violation against having a tinnitus. All right, we'll stop here. What's the